This is the Rosedale Seventh-day Adventist Church service, dated January the 23rd, 2021. The title, A Revival of True Godliness. I just want you to know that I have been so blessed by the Sabbath School. And, you know, I sat down and I have been smiling all morning. All of the points that have been made in the Sabbath School lesson are really an introduction to what God has led me to talk about today. And it is such a demonstration of his power and his love and his guidance. It is such a wonderful opportunity that I have to be with you at First Rosedale. I thank the Lord for the extension of time that I've received. And I know that God is going to bless us as we move together, as we walk together, and as we prepare for the coming of the Lord together. Today's subject is a revival of true godliness. A revival of true godliness. And as a sort of subtext to that title, I've got two sentences. How ready are you? How ready are you? The title again, A Revival of True Godliness. And the question, how ready are you? And then there's a second subtext which says, it is necessary to be ready now. It is necessary to be ready now. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your blessings. We thank you that so long ago you have been preparing the remnant in your word so that we will not be misled by error and flaws, but that we will be prepared. You have given us in detail all of the events that we see happening around us now. And we know, Lord, that you are waiting for us to be ready. You've placed four angels on the four wings of the earth to hold back the storms for one reason, and one reason only, so that we, your children, might be sealed in our foreheads, in our hearts, in our characters, sealed to come home with you. And so this morning, as we continue our study, we ask that you would give us that which we need now, for it is necessary now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12 says, all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. The word is not may or might suffer, but shall suffer. And we can see how close we are to that right now because of the fulfillment of everything that we see happening around us. And then verse 13 describes the world around us. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But, says verse 14, in talking now to those of us who seek to live for Christ, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. I want to stop right here this morning because I want you to know that this sermon that I'm sharing with you this morning is a sermon that I've preached to myself before I even came to you. So this is not just me talking to you. This is me talking to me. The question is, the first question that I ask Cameron is, what things have I learned? Have I really learned them? Or all I have done is really memorized them? You see, there's a difference between memorizing something and learning it. You can drive next to someone in a car for many, many years without ever sitting in the driver's seat. And you think you have a pretty good idea of what driving is all about until you actually sit in the driver's seat and you feel the tension on the brake pedal and you feel the difference what happens when you hit the accelerator. And for the first time, when you turn left or turn right, you realize that the steering wheel is very relaxing. and very cooperative. But that kind of driving is something that only happens after you have learned it. And sometimes you can't just learn it overnight. It's something that you have to go back day after day after day and get accustomed to it. And this is why sometimes you're driving down the street and you see people learning how to drive. And the person who is teaching them how to drive is teaching them how to reverse. And you're wondering, why are they blocking up the street? I want to pass. And you see, you've forgotten how much time it took for you to just learn how to reverse. See, there's a difference between memorizing something. There's a big difference between actually seeing someone drive and driving. There's a difference between memorizing that which God has in His Word and learning how to live it. And so when verse 14 says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, it means that you've got to spend some time behind that steering wheel. You've got to spend some time learning how to reverse, learning how to pass around the traffic, learning how to, and you begin to measure the width of your car so that when two cars are very close, you can tell from sitting in your driver's seat whether that car can, your car can pass through between it. In other words, learning is a process. And so the question that I ask Cameron this morning is, what have I really learned? Or have I just memorized? Or have I just talked about? But am I a driver? Can I steer? Do I know how to press the brakes? And then verse 15 is very clear. It says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And this is true. I remember I was 4 years old when my father used to make me get up and come downstairs to do Bible study at 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't know if he chose that because that was my age or what. But the thing about it is, I got accustomed hearing him read from the scriptures and read from the spirit of prophecy at a very early age. Of course, I didn't want to be down there. I really did not want to be down there. And then years after I learned that I need to apologize to this man when I see him again in the kingdom. Huh? Because many of the things that I heard by chance then, I remember now. But from a child hast thou known the Holy Scriptures? And this does not mean that you have had to be 4 years old in order to begin learning the Scriptures. You might have been 40 or 45 when you first got to know the Scriptures. But once you have gotten to know the Scriptures, and that is the child part of your life. That is the child part of your spiritual life. And my question for you this morning, And it's the same question I have for me. Have we built upon that which we learned from our childhood, from our spiritual childhood? Did we learn them? Can we steer the wheel? Can we press the brakes? Have we expanded on those things which we have learned when we first came into the church? Because notice what verse 15 says. Wisdom is dependent upon that kind of learning. Verse 15 says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, if you haven't been learning, if you can't really steer the vehicle, if you don't know how to mash the brakes or mash the accelerator, if you have not done anything other than come up out of the baptismal pool and walked away believing that because your name is now on the church record, on the clerk's record, then you're not wise unto salvation at all. And notice I did not use the opposite word of wise because I didn't think I wanted to use that word in this sermon. But that's the only way that we become wise. And then verse 16. It's now This is now the vaccine. Verse 16 is the vaccine. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. First thing. So it identifies what you need to know. Next, for reproof. Reproof is that which you need to be corrected about. For correction, of course. And notice the scripture is doing all this. And then the last thing, for instruction in righteousness. So when you study the scriptures, you get that vaccine, it goes into the arm, and it begins to do something in the body and in the mind. It begins to reprove some other things that are in there that need to be removed. And it begins to strengthen your resistance in the concept of correction, so that you might be instructed in righteousness. Your life is changed dramatically. Now, why am I going here this morning? I'm going here this morning because of what verse 12 says. Verse 12 says, all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Now, if you are going to go through persecution, you have to have the right doctrine, you have to be reproved, you have to be corrected, and you have to be instructed in the righteousness of Christ. So that, verse 17, can apply to you, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I want to let you know this morning on the 23rd of January, 2021, that this particular text is incredibly relevant to the day in which we are sharing. Acts of the Apostles, page 576 and paragraph 2 says, in all ages, Satan has persecuted the people of God. He has tortured them and put them to death. But in dying, they became conquerors. They bore witness to the power of one mightier than Satan. Notice how that quote continues. So it will be with all those who will live godly in Christ Jesus. The character of the persecution changes with the times, but the principle, the spirit that underlies it, is the same that has slain the chosen of the Lord ever since the days of Abel. This is where we are now. The relevance of what I'm talking about here is specific to where we are on the 23rd of January in the year of our Lord, 2021. Of course, we have a reassurance in Acts of the Apostles, page 576 and paragraph 3. It says there, wicked men may torture and kill the body, but they cannot touch the life that is hid in Christ, in God. They can incarcerate men and women in prison walls, but they cannot bind the spirit. Now, in order for them not to be able to bind the spirit, we ought to remember those things which we have been taught from the Holy Scriptures from a child. And we need to continue in those things which we have learned. We need to allow ourselves to be reproved of God, to be corrected by the Holy Spirit, and to be instructed in righteousness. Otherwise, our minds will not be free from the invasion of evil. And this is why this morning I have chosen the subject, a revival of true godliness. Selected Messages, Volume 1, page 121 and paragraph 1 says, a revival of true godliness among us is the greatest and most urgent of all our needs. Now that is serious. A revival of true godliness among us is the greatest and most urgent of all our needs. And then the next sentence says it even more specifically. It says, to seek this should be our first work. There must be earnest effort to obtain the blessing of the Lord, not because God is not willing to bestow his blessing upon us, but because we are unprepared to receive it. So in other words, here is God trying to give us all of this stuff, trying to share with us all that we need to have, trying to give us doctrine, reproof, and correction. And the only reason why we would not get it, not because he doesn't want to give it to us, but because we are unprepared to receive it. Now, I know that you've heard all of this stuff before. And I know that you probably even heard these specific quotations read before. But this morning, I want you to know on the 23rd of January in the year of our Lord 2021, they are relevant to the now. To the now. Because we are here. Here's a quote that an article that I want to read from the Hill website. It was published on the 19th of January, 2021. The writer of the article is Zach Butryk, Budryk, and I'm just spelling it for you in case you want to read it for yourself. I like people to read what I read so that they can know that I'm not making stuff up. In the Hill website, published January the 19th, the title of the article is this: McConnell, McCarthy, accept Biden invitation to pre-inauguration church service. Now, you got to understand the context of what I'm reading for you here. Because, see, up until the time that we got into this whole thing on January the 6th, and there were all of these people who invaded the Capitol building, etc., etc., McConnell and McCarthy were a part of that 147 congressmen who decided that they were not going to accept the results of the election. Okay? All right? And these men were serious. As a matter of fact, as we're going to go through this today, I want to show you where we are. All right? And I might go a little longer than I normally go, but I got to give you this because you've got to understand that we are here. We are here now. Now listen to what this article says. All four top ranking members of congressional leadership have accepted President-elect Joe Biden's invitation to attend a church service with him Wednesday morning ahead of his inauguration. Ahead of his inauguration, according to multiple reports. Okay? Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who incidentally is a Baptist. Senate Minority Leader Charles Schumer, who is Jewish. Nancy Pelosi from California, who is Catholic, and House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who is also a Baptist, will join Biden for Mass at Washington Cathedral of St. Matthew the Apostle. And Biden, of course, is the second elected Catholic after President John F. Kennedy. And of course, you remember the story that happened back in 1960. All right? 1960, all of the Protestants down in this nation objected to this man running for president because he was a Catholic, and they were Protestants, and they didn't go along with that. And of course, John F. Kennedy had to leave up here and go down there and promise them that he would obey the Constitution of the United States of America and not the Pope. Even then, not all of them supported him, but he had to go make that point. Okay? And of course, that's the reason why he died, because the Jesuits were angry because of what he said. And so they took him out. Notice that nobody has asked any questions, however, about Joe. As a matter of fact, we've come a long way since then. A long way since then. Notice how that article in The Hill continues. It says, the bipartisan leadership attendance also comes as Biden has repeatedly signaled his commitment to national unity ahead of the inauguration. And then, just in case you thought I was making it up, listen to what the article says. McCarthy was one of the more than 100 House Republicans who objected to Biden's Electoral College victory following a deadly riot at the U.S. Capitol. And yet he went to church with him. And why is this so relevant? And why this should not be a mystery to you? And why is my sermon on the 1st or on the 23rd of January of the first month of the year 2021 so relevant? It's because there's very little of the prophecies left to be done. The only piece left now is the declaration of a particular kind of law that will lead to the persecution of God's remnant people. Because notice now, you should not be surprised about the fact that these different people all went to church with Biden. Baptist, Jewish, Catholic, Baptist. Listen to what the Vatican News publishes in their website. Catholics and Lutherans mark 500th anniversary of Reformation. Joint statement by the Lutheran World Federation and the Pontifical Council promoting Christian unity on the conclusion of the year of the common commemoration of the Reformation on the 31st of October, 2017. On the 31st of October, 2017, the final day of the year of the common ecumenical commemoration of the Reformation, we are very thankful for the spiritual and theological gifts received through the Reformation, a commemoration that we have shared together and with our ecumenical partners globally. And now listen to the next sentence. Likewise, we beg forgiveness for our failures and for the ways in which Christians have wounded the body of the Lord and offended each other during the 500 years since the beginning of the Reformation until today. Sounds like friends coming back together, right? That's exactly what it is. That is exactly, precisely what it is. And you and I need to understand that this is the now, right here. This is the now being fulfilled in front of your face. This is the now. And this is why you and I need right now. We need the doctrine, we need the reproof, we need the correction, and we need the instruction in righteousness. And we need to do this quickly because all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That can't be that far away. This is why God calls us to continue in the things which we have learned. They cannot just be intellectual. They cannot just be memorized. They have to be put into practice in our lives. Because it's more than just us having a clear understanding of the truth. It's more than us just being able to repeat texts of scripture to defend what it is we need to defend. We are going to be persecuted. Okay? And I know that we're challenged at First Rosedale. We don't have a building. Still working on that. Looks pretty good though. It's looking pretty good. I probably shouldn't say that out loud because I haven't finished the negotiation yet. But it's looking pretty good. But if you think that the challenge that we have is something that is nothing compared to what is coming down the pike. Huh? In a very short time, not only Rosedale will be looking for a building somewhere and be without a building, but every single congregation, every single part of our denomination who stands for Christ and will be for Christ, we will be without buildings, we will be without all kinds of things. We are here now. And this carries me back to that quote that I read for you many times before, founded 50 years in the Church of Rome by Charles Chiniquy. in that meeting that they had in Buffalo in 1852? Where they decided, what will those hypocritical and godless sons and daughters of the fanatical Pilgrim Fathers say when not a single judge, not a single teacher, not a single policeman will be elected if he be not a devoted Irish Roman Catholic? What will those so-called giants think of their matchless shrewdness and ability when not a single senator or member of Congress will be chosen if he be not submitted? Notice the word submitted now. Submitted to our Holy Father the Pope. What a sad picture those Protestant Yankees will cut when we will not only elect the president. Woo! Woo! That sounds like January the 20th, right? And it also sounds like 1960. But 1960 is not as obviously a fulfillment as January the 20th. What a sad figure those Protestant Yankees will when we will not only elect the president, but fill and command the armies, man the navies, and hold the keys of the public treasury. Then, yes, then. Yes, Lord. We will rule the United States and lay them at the feet of the vicar of Jesus Christ that he may put an end to the godless system of education and impious laws of liberty of conscience, which are an insult to God and man. Now, this book, this man wrote, as a matter of fact, he was born in 1809, Charles Chiniquy, and he died in 1899. All right. Now, listen to the last thing he says on page 376. The Americans, with few exceptions, do not pay any attention to the dark cloud which is rising at their horizon from Rome. Though that cloud is filled with rivers of tears and blood, they let it grow and rise without even caring how they will escape from the impending hurricane. This is an ex-Catholic priest who is saying that about Americans. And I sincerely hope this morning that he would not say the same thing about God's remnant church. Because then the statement would say, the remnant church of God, with few exceptions, do not pay any attention to the dark cloud which is rising at their horizon from Rome. Though that cloud is filled with rivers of tears and blood, they let it grow and rise without even caring how they will escape from the impending hurricane. I sincerely hope that that does not apply to my remnant church. But the problem is, it probably does in so many cases. It probably does. And this is why it is so important for us this morning to understand that you and I need to have a revival of true godliness. It cannot be some sort of intellectual experience. It cannot be just something that we learn and we know and we have a clear vision of. But it must be something that has impacted our character or teaching. Because that's what doctrine is, you know, teaching. We must accept the reproof from God. We must accept the correction of verse 16. And we must accept the instruction in righteousness. All of that is critical. All of that is important. We must get that going in our lives. Why is that relevant? Because Great Controversy, page 48, and paragraph 2 describes the church to which we belong. Listen to what Great Controversy in chapter 2, Persecution in the First Centuries. Listen to what she says. The Apostle Paul declares that all that will live godly in Jesus shall suffer persecution. Why is it then that persecution seems in a great degree to slumber? Now she gives the answer. The only reason is that the church has conformed to the world's standard and therefore awakens no opposition. Now listen to this. The religion which is current in our day is not of the pure and holy character that marked the Christian faith in the days of Christ and his apostles. Wow. Wow. Continuing. It is only because of the spirit of compromise with sin, because the great truths of the Word of God are so indifferently regarded, because there's so little vital godliness in the church, that Christianity is apparently so popular with the world. Let there be a revival of faith and power of the early church, and the spirit of persecution will be revived, and the fires of persecution will be rekindled. Now that is deep. That is deep. And you and I this morning, we're not going to have too much of a choice left, to tell you the honest truth. Because when you look at what is happening here, and I'll have to deal with some of this in my next session with you. Because if I began to show you the connections between or this last election and the plans of the papacy and the global impact that all of what Francis has across the entire world and his encyclicals and what they're saying. Oh my goodness. You don't realize that you and I need to be ready, and we need to be ready now. Otherwise, we're going to end up with a Gideon moment. You know what I mean by a Gideon moment, right? Because a lot of us are going to leave home with our Sabbath school lesson and our Bibles, and we're going to be going to war, and God is going to look down from heaven and say, they're not ready to do this. They're not ready to do this. They're not ready to do this. And this is why this morning I am speaking to us here at First Rosedale, saying again, a revival of true godliness among us is the greatest and most urgent of all our needs. And in that same quote, she says, to seek this should be our first work. There must be earnest effort to obtain the blessing of the Lord, not because God is not willing to bestow it upon us, but because we are unprepared to receive it. Our Heavenly Father is more willing to give His Holy Spirit to them that ask Him than our earthly parents to give good gifts to their children. Wow. That's pretty serious. And you know, it's interesting how we look around us today, and we're very knowledgeable about all of the things that we see happening. Very knowledgeable. But I am concerned this morning that we are not investigating ourselves, our lives. We're not looking within. We're not spending time in the closet, asking God for forgiveness, asking God to show us the things within us that need to be changed. It's one thing for Cameron to keep track of everything that is happening. And believe me, I certainly do. I can't help it now. You know? I just can't. But I get up in the morning now and I say, Lord, please don't let this be the end of what I do. Let me stop every day, Lord, and take a look within. And please, Lord, if I fail to look within me, You point it out to me some way, somehow, so that I will know that there are things that I need to have change within me, because it wouldn't make sense if I'm going to spend as much time in research and putting the whole thing together and applying it to the prophecies when I myself am a castaway. This is serious. Because I want you to understand that we are here now on the 23rd of January in the year of our Lord, 2021. We are here now. Listen to this. Selected Messages, Volume 1, page 121 and paragraph 1. It is our work by confession, humiliation, repentance, and earnest prayer to fulfill the conditions upon which God has promised to grant us his blessing. Now, write that down and read it for yourself later on. It's found in Selected Messages, Volume 1, page 121 and paragraph 1. Listen to this again. But it is our work by confession, humiliation, repentance, and earnest prayer. Notice that sequence. Confession. Well, you can't confess something except you acknowledge it, right? By confession. Humiliation. Gotta fall on your knees before the Lord. Repentance. There's gotta be a genuine sorrow for your wrongdoing. And earnest prayer. Not just fantastic prayer that you've learned how to say so that you can impress people when they hear you praying. No. This is closet prayer we're talking about now. This is not public prayer. This is closet prayer. This is the kind of prayers that you give in your closet. And somebody asked me the other day what I mean by closet. I said, listen, I mean private prayer. But even if that is necessary, you can open up your clothing closet and go in there and kneel down on the ground and pray. Because I'm sure nobody else in the house is going to think you're in there. So you're going to be in there talking to the Lord by yourself. It is a private prayer. You don't need to share it with anybody at all. Earnest prayer. And what is that necessary for? Confession, humiliation, repentance, and earnest prayer to fulfill the conditions upon which God has promised to grant us his blessing. And listen to how the quote continues. It says, a revival need be expected only in answer to prayer. Lord, have mercy. While the people are so destitute of God's Holy Spirit, they cannot appreciate the preaching of the word. But when the Spirit's power touches their hearts, then the discourses given will not be without effect. Guided by the teachings of God's word, with the manifestation of his Spirit, in the exercise of sound discretion, those who attend our meeting will gain a precious experience, and returning home will be prepared to exert a healthful influence. Now, I hope you're getting this morning, my dear. I hope you are. I hope you are. Because Testimonies, Volume 7 and page 284 and paragraph 4 says, everyone needs now to seek the Lord. God's people will not endure the test unless there is a revival and a reformation. All right? So you're not going to make this test just because you have an intellectual understanding of the truth. It's not going to happen. There must be a revival and there must be a reformation. And listen to how that quote continues. The Lord will not admit into the mansion he is preparing for the righteous one soul who is self-sufficient. Why is this sermon relevant this morning? It is relevant this morning because it is the now that we're in. This is the time of the fulfillment. And I sincerely hope you're listening to me this morning. You see, it is easy to see what is happening around us. It is a challenge to be prepared for it. Let me say that again. It is easy to see what is happening around us, but it is a challenge to be prepared for it. National Public Radio website published an article on the 20th of January, just a couple of days ago, in which it describes a Jesuit priest who informs on Biden's leadership. And listen to the article. When President Joe Biden took the oath of office this morning, he placed his hands on a thick, worn, brown leather Bible. It's a family heirloom he has carried throughout his political career. President Biden is a Catholic, and he wears his faith more publicly than many presidents. He often quotes the Bible and Catholic thoughts in speeches, as he did today. Reverend James Martin is a Jesuit priest and editor at large of America Magazine, and he joins us to talk more about the president's speech. Here's what Reverend James Martin says. Well, he started off the day with Mass at St. Matthew's Cathedral with his friend and his brother, Kevin O'Brien, a Jesuit. Now, that's what he is saying, okay? He had a Jesuit priest, Leo O'Donovan, do the invocation. He sprinkled, as you said, Catholic references. Now, this is Reverend James Martin talking. This is not Cameron Boyne talking. This is Reverend James talking in the National Public Radio website. And it was a voice. It was on the program. I think the name of the program is All Things Considered. So he is the one who is saying out loud that your president had his friend who went to church with him, a Jesuit. He had Leon O'Donovan do the invocation, a Jesuit. That's what he said. Okay? This is the now, my brother, my sister. This is the now. PBS NewsHour also published the fact that Father Leo John Donovan gave the invocation. He gave the opening prayer. Doesn't seem like a big deal right now anymore. After all, if you read A.T. Jones's writings back on a meeting that was held back in 1912, where there were 300 representatives of Protestant churches that came together and decided that they no longer wanted to use the word Protestant. Now, we're not talking about 2020, you know. I'm telling you that A.T. Jones wrote this before he died. And he was talking about a meeting held in 1912 in which these men came together and decided they no longer wanted to use the word Protestant. Okay? This is the now that we are. And this is why you and I need a real revival. I was listening to the Sabbath School this morning and I heard Al Greenman make reference to these guys, so I thought I would include it here. In a website called The Conversation, Elder, there is an article that was published on January the 12th, 2021. And the writer of the article is Brad Christensen. He is a professor of sociology at a university out there. Here's the title of his article: How Self-Proclaimed Prophets from a Growing Christian Movement Provided Religious Motivation for the January 6 Events at the U.S. Capitol. Now, let me just read this real quickly, because I don't want to keep you all day, but listen to this. In addition to symbols of white supremacy, many of the rioters at the Capitol on January the 6th carried signs bearing religious messages such as Jesus Saves and In God We Trust, while others chanted Jesus is my Savior and Trump is my President. In a video interview, one of those who breached the senator's floor describes holding a prayer to consecrate it to Jesus soon after entering. Now, I want you to understand that thing that happened on the 6th, that was not just some sort of political confrontation. There were these guys who have been praying for a long time. They believe that this is going to be their march in order to turn America back to being a Christian nation again. Okay? In a video interview, one of those breached the Senate floor described holding a prayer to consecrate to Jesus soon after entering. And continuing, in the days and hours leading up to the storming of the U.S. Capitol on January the 6th, the group Jericho March, that's the name of the group, check it out on the internet, organized marches around the Capitol and Supreme Court building, praying for God to defeat the dark and corrupt forces that they claimed, without evidence, had stolen the election from God's anointed president, Donald Trump. And Jericho March is a loose coalition of Christian nationalists, formed after the 2020 presidential election with the goal of overturning its results. So in other words, this is not just about politics. No! These are people who have a plan, and they've had it for a while. And we don't have time this morning to get into the Jericho March and the Jericho people and these people. And there's a whole bunch of, there's a whole bunch of modern day prophets. Oh, it would blow your mind. So that when you see, some of the discussion that we had just this morning in Sabbath school about spiritualism, these people believe that they hear from God. And they don't just, let me say this, I'm going to say it twice. They don't just believe they're here from God. They're here from somebody, and they think it's God. Okay? Let me say it again. They're not just saying they're here from God. They actually hear from somebody. And they believe it's God. You and I know it's not. So that quote that we are so familiar with, so very, very familiar with, the quote in which we are told that when Protestants shall reach her hand across the gulf to grasp the hands of this Roman power, when she shall reach over the abyss to clasp hands with spiritualism, that's for real. Ellen White wasn't just writing that because she ran out of words. This is the now. Right now. There's these modern day prophets who are hearing the voice of someone talking to them. Lord have mercy. And they are convinced it's God. And you can find that quote in Testimonies Volume 5, page 451. And they call themselves the Jericho Marchers. You know why they call themselves the Jericho Marchers? Jericho March is a loose coalition of Christian nationalists formed after the 2020 presidential election with the goal of overturning its results. Now listen to this. Jericho March's main activity has been organizing prayer marches around Capitol buildings around the nation after the election, imitating the Battle of Jericho in the Bible. In this biblical battle, God commanded the army of his chosen people, the nation of Israel, to blow trumpets and then march around the city walls until God brought the walls down and allowed Israel to invade and conquer the city. According to the Bible, this was the first battle the nation won in its conquest of Canaan, the promised land that is occupied afterward. I'm going to have to read the rest of this for you the next time. But this is taken from a website called The Conversation. Had nothing to do with Adventism, has nothing to do with church, has nothing to do with the Bible. They're just telling you, these are what these people believe. So when you see those people walking around in there, not just a political move. No. And this is why you and I need to have that revival. Now we're going to have a revival in the church for our church people. But that's not the revival I'm talking about now. I am talking about you and I personally, we need to have a personal revival. Yeah. We need to go back this morning. We need to start this morning. Lord have mercy. We need to start this morning by going back and investigating the things that we have learned. Because if we don't have any idea concerning the things that we have learned, we can't continue in the things which we have learned. We need to go back and review the things that we have learned as a child. We have known from the scriptures. We need to allow ourselves to be taught. That's what doctrine in verse 16 says. to be reproved, to be corrected, to be instructed in righteousness. We need to do this now. This is the now. Lord have mercy. Let me say it again. This is the now. This text does not refer to the future. All of the things that we see happening around us right now are the fulfillment of everything that we're seeing now. And I do believe with all my heart that First Rosedale Church is blessed because it's going through some of the challenges that it is going through right now. Your challenges are not accidental. The test is to see how you are going to respond to the challenges that you're going through. That is always the case. God allows us to go through challenges all the time to see how we're going to respond to those challenges. And this morning, God is calling you. Now, if we were in the building, I would call you forward. But I like the idea that I can't see you and you can't see me. Because everything you do is going to be personal now. And heaven is watching you. This morning, I'm going to appeal to you to surrender your heart to the Lord again. You know, I've learned for the last few years now that every morning I get up, I commit my life to the Lord again. It is a daily commitment I make. There is nothing that can replace that kind of daily commitment. And so this morning I am asking you, please, if you'd like to say, Lord Jesus, take me again. Wash me clean. Give me another shower. You know, on the matter of the shower, it's such an important thing that we bathe before we go out in the street. And some people I know, they bathe at night before they go to sleep. But that shower is so important. It gets rid of the toxins that have come out during the night or whatever. And they're just hanging there on the body, But once you step out of the shower and you put some soap on and the water and the warm water flows down it, you just feel different, man. Why not take a spiritual shower with the Lord today? Ask Him to cleanse you from all unrighteousness so that your life might reflect Him in every detail. I know that some of you here at First Rosedale, you think that things are difficult right now. Don't panic. God is fully aware of all that you're going through. God is fully aware of all that you're going through personally, and He's fully aware of all that you are going through as a congregation. And the reason, let me say it again, the reason why He allows you to go through it in the first place is so that He might test you to see how you are going to respond to it. Because He has promised to give you the strength. And anytime you think you're being challenged beyond your ability, just think of a man named Job. And that will straighten it out immediately. Because you'll realize that even though you are personally going through some difficult times, or your church is going through some difficult times, the God of heaven is fully aware and fully present in all that you have to endure. So this morning I'm going to pray. And I'd like for you, please, to bow your heads with me as I pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have warned us in advance that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. I lift up before You all of the members of this church I thank you, Lord, that you brought me here. And for the little time that I will be with them, I pray, Lord, that my spiritual experience will be the same as theirs as we all lift our hearts to you and recall the things which we have learned, that from a child we have understood. I place our hand in you this morning, asking for the teaching, for the reproof, for the correction, for the instruction in righteousness, that we might grow in grace, and one day we all will sit together under the tree of life, next to the river of life, and smile as we remember these days of trial. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the Rosedale Seventh-day Adventist Church service, dated January the 23rd, 2021. The title, A Revival of True Godliness.